Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
The views expressed here within the programs and chats do not necessarily represent the views of liveparanormal.com.
Thank you for joining us for Live Paranormal Radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. LiveParanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interaction media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
This is John Temporelli, co-author and editor of Heaven Can You Hear Me by the late famed Fox sighting psychic and legendary paranormal researcher Peter James.
This is the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, and you're
listening to My Darkest Hour with Stefan Brigati on LiveParanormal.com.
To another edition of My Darkest Hour Radio. I am your host, Stefan Brigati, and thank you for joining me on this wonderful evening. Hope wherever you're at, hope it's not too hot. I hope it's not too cold. I hope it's just right on this beautiful evening. Hope you're all doing well. Been a lot of things happening. You guys have been following the show. A lot of events going on. I'm excited to talk about my paranormal convention here on the West Coast, Pacific Coast, Paracon. It is the first one of its kind right here in the central area in Ventura. A lot of you who follow my TV show on Paraflix and on Roku TV know about the first episode, which was a documentary based on a haunted theater that I have in Ventura, and a lot of people just responded so great to it, decided to have an event there. You know, a lot of you know that I was really, really good friends with the late, great Mr. Douglas Carnahan. I did about 10 of his paracons, just absolutely loved him, and learned a lot. So in his honor, I am pleased to announce that I am continuing the tradition of putting on the paracons here in California. So thank you for those who reached out and really, really responding well to it. I wasn't sure how it was going to go, first of all, in this area. But as soon as I made the announcement, everybody just kind of sent me messages, you know, in full support, wanted to be a part of this amazing event, which I feel is going to be a huge thing for many of us. Of course, I mentioned that my dear friend, Patty Negri, will be joining us, and she'll be doing a gallery reading workshop. So if you want to be part of her seance, come to that. It would be an amazing event. A few other people, Ann Bender from Bender Paranormal will be joining us. She's a psychic medium who deals with helping the police and the FBI. Mark and Barbara Nelson, of course, you guys know from the show, so they'll be joining us. And those of you got a chance to check out that last episode of My Darkest Hour with Unearthing the Supernatural, know that they're going to make their way out to the West Coast and join us, Keith Bailey. You know, and the list goes on and on and on. Like every week, I'm just getting people that really want to be a part of it. It means so much. So I definitely feel blessed and hope you guys can be a part of it. Or even talking about maybe doing a live thing there. So that'd be awesome as well. So anyway, moving on. Tonight, we are doing the show a little bit old school. We're going back just to the radio style. I know a lot of you people really enjoy the video style. With my guest tonight, we'll do another chat with her. In the future, hopefully we can get a video of her as well, which would be great to add to the YouTube channel. So you can always find me at Stefan Bergotti or My Darkest Hour on YouTube. Anyway, tonight my guest, rejoining us, she's been with us a couple times now, is psychic medium Athuth Jean Paris, I believe. We've talked to her a few times. We've got a bit about the investigative side of her, part of the mediumship. I know we and her have been chatting a little bit, and things have gone to a bigger extent, which is a great chance for us to find out what's going on. And let's just go ahead and bring her on the show and see how she is doing. Let's get her out of the green room. Come on in here.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hello.
How are you tonight?
Hi, Stefan. I'm good.
Can you hear me okay?
And you did good. You did good. Everyone does that with my first day. My dad had to be creative like that. But it's a Thea. Yeah.
It's a Thea. That's right. That's what messes me up. There's no A at the end of it, so I'm like ending with a thing.
I know.
But hey, I'm doing the best I can.
My grandparents never even spelled it right when they were living. My grandparents never even spelled it right when they were living. So I mean, I'm used to it. But
it's a very cool name. It's different, so that's really cool.
Well, thank you. He liked that better than. Mom wanted to call me Catherine Ruth after two of my aunts, and Dad felt that was too old-fashioned. So he took the A-T-H-E from Catherine and U-T-H from Ruth and put them together. Made a Thea. I like it now as an adult. As a child, I did not like it because I could not find any little license plates with my name on it.
No, that one you got to get custom. That's for sure.
But one of the things I wanted
it's
to...
different.
Well, thank you. I like I said,
absolutely.
I like
so
it now. I just didn't as a kid. I'm good. I'm in Ohio now.
How's that going for you? You like it out there?
Yeah, I like it. I'm enjoying time with my granddaughter. And I'm my children, they have gifts. My oldest, she don't like to talk about. She don't want any part of it, but like my son and my youngest daughter, they have them too. And I see the things in my granddaughter that reminds me so much of me when I was little, you know, and I can see where she has that too, the gift. You know, it's neat to see it passed down to families.
Yeah.
One of the things I wanted to say to you
yes.
before we get started, and I don't mean to interrupt, I have to give you props. I think what you're doing is wonderful with the Paracons, and especially for Doug. Because, I mean, James and I will I always love Doug. Everyone on the team will love Doug. He was just amazing. And in spirit, he's amazing. He's just, and you keeping that going, I know.
That's why I was saying, you know, I do a lot of Paracons, and some people are real stiff and they're not really approachable, but Doug was such an open, warm-hearted person, you know, and it was
very
just
much.
About him putting on these events just to get everybody together, to have a good time, you know, investigate together and have fun. And that's what it was really all about, and I saw that in him, and I just told him, you know, I will always do your events anytime you want me to. And he wanted me at every event pretty much. So it was like such a great thing. And
such a big heart and help anybody.
I just, for the past like year and a half, all I hear is his voice in my head saying, hey, man, do something. Let's do something. Come on. Put something together. You know, so I was just like,
I
have to think about it.
I feel him very happy.
Let's go for it.
Very happy.
Yeah.
I think
so
it's
hopefully
wonderful.
Hopefully he'll be there with us. I'm sure he will. Oh, that's cool. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I know. He's with you always. And he helps so many people. And a lot of it with the paranormal, especially when you get people who are experiencing things and they don't quite understand. And when you're not used to it, it scares you. And one of the things, you know, that he was really good at was, you know, explaining. And that's sometimes it's all about the knowledge. When you can understand, it scares you less. And he liked to bring understanding.
Yeah.
That and unity,
yeah,
very
much.
Yeah,
and he was a natural at that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that smile, he was definitely a natural at that.
Yeah.
Here in Ohio, I've been, this time of year is a particularly odd time of year because, you know, I feel spring coming, and ever since I was little, when this time of year would come, the difficult part for me, being clairvoyant, psychic medium, is that I feel the veil getting thinner. And it's like there's a surge in activity right before spring comes. And I felt that ever since I was little. Like, I remember being in elementary school and being affected by what I was feeling and staying up till 5 o'clock in the morning so that I could see daylight and then go to sleep. Because as a child, you know, trying to understand.
Yeah.
I was blessed that my parents were very understanding, but still, like, I think I've told you the story when before I started school, I seen the first thing that ever scared me. Because Andy Kopic even asked me about that. He said, when did you know you were different? And that's when I saw my first shadow person. And when I told my dad, he was like, you know, we know this is real, but you can't talk about it at school. Of course, this is back in 1979. So, you know.
Okay, yeah.
It wasn't the same time period as now. It's wonderful how we're more open with our children, how we give them more understanding for these gifts and don't make them feel like, you know, that they're crazy if they have that. And so when I was in first grade, they tested me for epilepsy, and I didn't have it, but I couldn't talk about what I was seeing. But I enjoy even now, and then there's been a surge. Like, I've had several people here contacting me. I've done a house cleansing that went really, really well. It's old Victorian house, and I felt like I need to do more research on it, but I feel like it was part of the Underground Railroad here.
Oh,
and,
wow. Cool. And was it?
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't done all the research on it yet, but the feel I had from it, yes, it was. And the people that own it, like, they don't even want to go to the basement. I went down to the basement for a while, and after I got done doing the sage and talking, and everything felt lighter. I mean, their dogs were happy. Everything was so much better. But a lot of it was just what I felt was a lot of trapped souls. So I was releasing them. I've went back to there since then just to kind of, I don't know, I guess it's like maintenance. You know, sometimes you got to keep maintenance up on that. You keep maintenance up on your house. Sometimes you got to keep spiritual maintenance up.
You know, it's funny that you say that. When I do a lot of investigations, like private investigations, people are always asking about that. You know, and I say, you know, every situation is different. We're going to come and try things and work out what we're doing, and then we're going to try to clear out whatever's bothering you. you know, and we don't want to get rid of grandma visiting and stuff like that, but we're going to try to focus on this and that. And they asked, well, when we're done doing the cleaning and stuff, well, is that it? I'm all for now, but we're going to keep coming back and checking on you. And I say it just like that. I say it's like kind of like the Terminex guy. They come in, they tent the house.
Yeah, exactly.
And then every few months they come back and zap here and zap there just to keep the place nice and, you know, that energy normal, you know. That's funny you say that.
Because with so much residual energy and it being an old Victorian house and, of course, they're remodeling and been doing so much work in it, you know, I said it really is a lot like that movie The Others, if you've ever gotten a chance to see it. I tried to explain. Yeah. I said, okay, imagine you walk in your home, and even if it looked like a beautiful mansion, you'd be like, well, what the heck happened here? If you didn't recognize your stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot of times with the energy that gets trapped, it's like that. There were a few. She did have, you know, like I said, I did clear out. But there's also residual energy. And I explained that to her. You know, a lot of times it's just like an imprint in time, and it'll just keep playing itself. And it's not that it's, you know, bad. But Ohio, there's so much limestone here. And even when I'm home, it's like conductive, like a battery. I feel like a battery when I'm here.
Yeah, so limestone, you can imprint onto that energy, almost like an old videotape. And it'll just keep looping and looping and looping over, you know. And people go out and they pick up all these different energies every single day. And they go back to the old Victorian house, which already has probably something going on with it. So all these different energies just keep flooding in. So it's always good to go back and you know, sweep out some of those old energies you don't need anymore, that kind of stuff.
And kind of, you know, be in the medium part, I'm able to walk through it and explain to them. So, see, you keep your clients also calm by teaching them, and they learn, you know, so that they're not scared of the things that happen. But when you're the medium part, you work with the spirits so that they can understand, so that they can move on. So that they're not scared as well. I've never been one to provoke. I've never been a provoker. I've always wanted to, you know, clear and do what I had to do. I don't want to provoke and make things worse. That's just me.
I know
some people do, and I get it. But.
Yeah. I used to until I just, you know, it doesn't do anything good. My situation, I was at a house where these spirits of these bikers were at, and they were terrified of this old lady who ended up buying their hangout house and stuff. You know, and they were choking her and doing all this stuff, and I was, like, trying to focus in on the energy that was in this room. So I just called out these bikers, like, well, hey, I'm a big biker, too. You think you're tough? Picking our little old lady, why don't you hit me? Guess what happened?
They did.
They punched me right in the face. Now, people are like, how is that possible? They're on my hands, blah, blah, blah. Yes. I didn't feel the impact of the punch. But I did filming, and about 5 minutes later, I'm sitting in the living room, and our cameraman goes, dude, what the hell happened to your face? And I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, go look in the mirror. And my face was all white and red, and my lip was swollen. And I could feel the puffiness of my swollen lip rubbing on my tooth. So I definitely got clocked right in the face. But you didn't feel the impact, but your body reacts to that energy. So I was just like, oh, man, really? It got me good. So I went back and I'm like, all right, let's talk about this. Let's go a different direction, blah, blah, blah. You know, and it was like that. So I've been bitten, I've been punched, I've been scratched, I've been hit in the head, I mean, all that stuff. And it's, you want to start off on an equal note. You want the spirit to talk to you, right? You don't want to piss it off and make it run away. You want to say, hey, what's going on? What can we do? How can I help you? What's going on? You feel like really a message or something? Let's do this.
I've also explained to people in the past how when they've got an EVP or they've heard get out, that oftentimes that's not meant to be demonic or any kind of bad, that that's them reliving what happened to them, and they want you out.
Yeah.
They want you safe. I know that there's this bar in Stockton when I was there with James, and it was an old tannery. It had caught fire at one point, and our team back there had a loss this year. Mark Sisper, our EVP guide, passed away, unexpected. But Mark had caught an EVP. We were all down in the basement. You know, we didn't hear anything. Well, he goes back and listens, and you can hear a spirit yelling, "Fire, fire, get out."
Oh, wow.
But that was an example of them, you know, reliving, or that residual energy impacted on the place.
Wow, that's
but yeah,
you
I
can
still
hear that looping over and over again. You know, that must be horrifying for them who are trapped in that situation.
I mean, and it was screaming. Like, the fact that we didn't hear it at all, but had it on the recording, was like, wow. I mean, it was frantic.
Wow, how scary. What's that?
But I still own the team with James and Crystal and Jamie Lee. And it was hard. It was hard to lose Mark. I'm not sure if you ever got to meet him. But he was like a genius with EVPs, almost like had dog ears. He could hear them so good.
Oh, that's awesome.
But we all got together. I was on video chat for it. And, you know, we kind of did a little memorial for him. But I know that even he, if Mark were here, it makes us all happy to see what you're continuing with the Paracons and with the events. Because there's a whole new generation now, and they want to understand, and they want to learn, and they want to go out and do investigations and help people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This kind of thing, when it's spiritual and paranormal, we're kind of the doctors for that. You know, we're who you go to.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like a rite of passage thing, you know? I grew up watching In Search Of, and there was a big show on the 70s when I was a kid. That's incredible. And they always had this segment.
Oh, I love that show.
They always had that one segment where, like, it's paranormal, like the Toys R Us store or whatever it is.
Yeah, Sylvia Brown's first appearances.
Yeah. So I got to go to that
Toys R Us.
Oh, that is awesome. I love that episode. So I got to grow up with that, and I was inspired by Peter James and a lot of other people who were doing that stuff at the time. Then I got, you know, organized and got it together in 91 and just kind of grouped off. And then we rise to that next level. We're learning from those people, the pioneers that were pioneers to us. We learn all this stuff, mm-hmm. and then the next generation come along, and we're teaching it to them at these Paracons and educating people just so they can get right. And they learn stuff that's newer than what we've been doing. So it's really exciting.
That and the equipment that they're coming up with, and it's wonderful. It's really amazing.
Yes.
I've also done some readings, some picture readings. When I did the house cleansing, my friend, I'm not going to say her name because I didn't ask permission, you know, I did readings for her and a friend of hers, and they handed me some pictures because that's what I'm a picture reader. Like, when you hand me a picture of someone who's passed away, I'll hold the picture and I usually end up feeling how they've passed away, like literally physically feeling it. Several people came through for them. One girl in particular stood out to me. I kind of recognized her. And when she handed me her picture and I held it, I just felt my throat crushing. And here the girl had fallen and accidentally crushed her her esophagus, her limpet.
Oh, wow.
And they just, they had goosebumps, you know. But the part about it that I like, the medium part, is helping people understand and connect with their loved ones and know that, you know, we may pass away, our body may pass away, but, and I believe this because of science, you know, our energy, we live on. Energy can't be destroyed. It can only be changed.
Yeah. We get out of our broken machine and we transition to something else. We leave our avatar.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. We leave our avatar and we move on in our transition. Exactly.
And then we turn into butterflies. Oh. And then we fly away.
You know, though, that is, I believe, isn't it in Mexico where they celebrate that? They believe that with the butterflies that they bring the spirits of their loved ones who've passed away?
I don't know if I've ever heard that, but I definitely like that. That's very cool.
Because there, at one point, there's like so many monarch butterflies down there. And that's one of
the
things.
Yes, the big ones. That's cool. I like that.
But I know that one of the things I've also fell in love with is where I have traveled and I've met people from so many cultures, just learning all the different spiritual things. And it's amazing how at the root of it all kind of ties in. I remember someone asking me something about all that, and I said, you know what? I said, you know that TV show, Supernatural? I said, it's kind of like that, but not as dramatic.
Yeah. That's always a good reference, though. A lot of people have seen that show. They get when you say it, like, kind of like Supernatural. It's like, oh, okay, yeah. So let's talk about the picture reading. So you go to a client or whoever, and they hand you some pictures. Now, you're looking at it, do you feel an energy coming right off the picture? Is there a warmth or a coldness? Like, how does that process start?
Sometimes I'll look at the picture. Sometimes I'll just lay it in my hand. I let them choose that. The picture of the girl, she handed me the picture, and I held it, and then, she was just really strong. Oftentimes, even if it's on a phone, I'll lay the picture flat on my left hand and I can feel. And usually the first thing I'll feel is what happened to them. And that'll be physically and empathically. Then I'll get images. And that's the clairvoyance coming in. Sometimes, I will actually see them. I know that where I'm working now, there's a spirit. He's in that store. I see him often. And
if he
doesn't make contact, I think it's residual, actually, because he never makes contact. And I always see him really like in the same aisle or in the hall, in the same places, you know, doing the same thing when I see him. So, but it doesn't freak me out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm that property over there before it was ever a drive-thru, which is where I work, it was an old bar. So, like, when my grandpa would have been living, it was a bar. So there would have been a lot of, you know, rowdiness, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And you can put a new building on an area, but that doesn't change the rowdiness of the land, you know?
When he's appeared to you, does he look injured or anything like that, or just look regular?
No, he just looks regular. He's not quite 6 foot, and he's usually in the aisle where the peanuts are, and it's like, I don't know, I'll look over and see him, and then he's gone. Yeah, and that happens. The only time I've ever been, and I won't act like I'm perfect, you know, there was a time in my basement years ago, like when my youngest daughter's getting ready to be 23, but when she was just a baby, just born, and I was loading laundry in the dryer, and I turn around, there's my grandpa, and I screamed. Now, I shouldn't have done that because he was gone, but, you know, he startled me. I always let people know right off, you know, my accuracy is 90-95. We're all human, and we all have this. It's just, we all have this ability. It's just some people it pops out, some people it doesn't, you know. Brains are organs, and they're, everyone's got a different computer up there.
That's right. That's interesting.
I'm definitely wanting to go back to Prospect Place.
Oh, yeah. I think we talked about that last time you were on the show.
I'm wanting to go back to Prospect Place, and I've got people, you know, interested, and I've always loved field training.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to, you know, maybe set something up, talk to my adopted uncles, Uncle Jeff, Uncle Paul, and get something set up over there to, you know, bring in and do a little ghost hunt. My youngest daughter, her boyfriend has friends who have a YouTube channel, and, you know, I would, of course, let you know when it was, and I just would like to, I think it would be cool.
Yeah, let me know when you're looking at doing something like that. That'd be awesome.
I will, because I miss Prospect. I get in that house, and some people, I don't know, maybe it was another life I was there, you know, but I feel at home when I'm there. Uncle Jeff and Uncle Paul don't live on the property. They have their own place now, but, I mean, there's still, like, a board over it, you know, and they get a grant to keep fixing it and making it nice. They're really not my uncles, but they adopted me, and I love them both.
Sometimes that's all it takes, you know, to have that,
exactly,
that connection with somebody. Yeah, that's
and,
awesome.
It's been years back, but they had invited me, and at the time, James, that's when we lived in Ohio then. He's still in Cali. I'm here. But we had went and did an informal investigation. And after everyone had left, because they stayed in the servants' quarters part of the house, so then there was the whole other section of the mansion that was where people would go and do investigations. And Uncle Jeff was like, go ahead and lock up for me. So I went and made sure the doors were locked, but... the ghosts already took care of the deadbolts. They were already locked. And I was like, okay, guys, this is cool. And I went back, and I told Uncle Jeff, I said, well, the doors locked themselves. And he said, yeah, nothing with this house surprises me.
That is pretty funny, because they can do whatever they want to. I've been on investigations where my teammates have been locked in certain rooms, right? And they've been calling us, mm-hmm. to come open the door for them. They're locked in. And some of these doors don't even have locks on them. So I'm like, how do you get locked into a room that doesn't have a lock on the door?
That would definitely be spirit energy.
Yeah, we were filming that one. And they were on camera with the cameras in the room. And they're like, mm-hmm. well, yeah, it won't open. I don't know. Oh, I call him. Tell him to come open the door. Hey, we're locked in. It's like, dude, really, guys? That's funny. They're messing with him good.
So then you go and you just open it, and it's like, here you go. You're okay. People,
yep.
Even like when I went and did the cleansing and stuff, and a lot of times they're like, well, we don't want to go in this area. Do we have to go with you? They'll say to me. And it happened lots of times. And I'm like, no, I'm good. And I just go, you know. I tell them, you know that scary movie where you see that person and you're like, oh, no, don't go in there. I said, that's me. I'm going in. If I know I can help and make it better, I'm going.
Well, I think that a lot of it's part of a problem that people are obsessed with horror films. And we see horror films because they're horrific films of crazy things happening. And a lot of it is they bring in these ghost stories, these paranormal stories, and make them into horror stories because, you know, right off the top, it's an unknown situation. You don't know what you're dealing with. It could be something super scary. It's going to be a horror story.
Mm-hmm.
And for people like you and for people like me, it's not like that. I go in there, I'm like, what are you guys doing? You're scaring these people. What's going on here? You know, and they
mm-hmm.
and they're the people who don't get that. Yeah, and the people who don't get that are just frightened because I don't know what's going on. I saw somebody walk down the hallway. I don't know who it is. It's just that unknown fear is what gets them. But for us,
mm-hmm.
it's a daily basis with me. I sit here, my closet's banging. The things are going crazy, and I know it's my sister-in-law and her boyfriend who passed, and they're always trying to get my attention and banging stuff. I know it's when it's my mom or my wife's family because I met her uncle one day. I didn't even know about in the bathroom. I'm like, oh, this is great. You know, what a great time to come in here and introduce yourself to me as I'm in the bathroom.
I've had that experience too.
It's like, dude, what are you guys doing? So it's different. It's not a big shocker to us. We mean, when they appear or whatever, it's startling, but it's not like it's scary. You're just like, oh, what are you doing? You know, and that's with anything. But people who don't know,
mm-hmm.
it's a horrifying experience. So they're always afraid something's going to happen.
That's why the education part of what we do, you know, is so important. Also, so like the children don't get frightened. And I think I told you in the past, when children are experiencing things, I'll oftentimes tell the parents, you know, okay, well, give them some crayons and pencil or paper and tell them just to draw. Don't ask questions. Don't just, you know, don't lead them. Let them do it themselves. That way you can see what they're seeing, you know?
Yeah.
Also, I've
Absolutely.
Had people, like you were saying, how it's an everyday thing, where they said, well, either, oh, I wish I had your gift, or if it's hard like that, you know, because there are days, and I know you know what I'm talking about, where your energy is just, from doing it, you've got to rest. You've got to be able to reboot you to be able to take care of what you need to take care of.
Yeah.
And I've told him, I said, well, even if I didn't do any work in the paranormal, I'm not going to stop experiencing it because, you know, I am a psychic medium. I'm not going to stop experiencing it. So,
yes, it's not going to go away.
Exactly. No.
There's not a pill you can start taking that's going to get rid of it.
Yeah, there's no red pill. There's no blue pill. It's just there. You know? But the part where you get to help people helps you focus it. So it's not so overwhelming. At least for me, that's how I feel. That's the good part of it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's what I'm saying. People who don't get it are just terrified. Everybody else is just, it's normal. Like when I was a kid, seeing the Indians come up from our garage and walk up the stairs to my sister's room and go into my sister's room was like, I never really thought about it, like, who is this person or what's going on. It was just like, oh, hi, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can pick up on the energy. You get the feeling. You know, this person is not menacing. He was an Indian, and he was carrying, like herbs or flowers or something and kind of acknowledged me and walked upstairs to my sister's room because that's where they would go. And
mm-hmm.
My sister's big walk-in closet. So it's like, okay.
So,
but to most people, that would just be like, what's going on? Oh, no, it must be me.
Yeah. No. Definitely no. Even like going out and investigating on land that was like Native American and stuff, and how they protected so many things, you know, and it's important to be respectful of that. Like oftentimes I used to roll my cigarettes instead of, you know, I would leave tobacco, you know, or I would do something that was honoring them, you know, to show them respect. But for you to have gotten to see them when you were little, they must have felt comfortable, and you weren't scared. So,
yeah, I think it was, because he just kind of, he walked up and stood there and kind of looked at me, and I was looking at him, and I was kind of like, hey, you know, smiling, and he just kind of nodded at me, going, oh, hello, you know, kind of deal. But the offering thing is very important. With the theater where I'm doing the Paracon at, I mean, there's a lot of spirits there. And I knew there was from the beginning. But when I started doing my documentary, I had no idea exactly how many there was. It was way over the limit.
I could feel it from the picture. Like, I wish you'd – I seen the picture on the promo, but I would love for you to send me a picture, and I would just write out everything I got for you.
Cool. That'd be awesome. There's two – pretty much only two menacing style spirits there, and they're not really menacing. They're just set in their ways. These are like mobster kind of guys from the 30s and early 40s, and they're just kind of different. And one was always kind of mean. He didn't want you going to the projector room. That was his room. You know, don't mess with his stuff. Don't touch his stuff. Very, very, very angry. And he used to, like, threaten me all the time and tell me he, you know, back in his day they would never find my body, and, you know, punch me with his brass knuckles and all this stuff. You know, I just kept working on him, you know, because I'm there all the time. So I'm like, hey man, you know, just let's just talk, whatever. So on this one, on during the filming, I went in there and I said, hey Gary, I got something for you, man. I told you I was going to do this, and I'm a man of my word. And I brought in a little bottle of gin. And
I can feel him smile, man.
Yeah, I can feel the energy. I'm just, the hair on my arm is standing up right now because we're linking. But it's funny because I set all that stuff up and I said, here you go, buddy. I promise you this and all stuff. And he said this, and one of our psychics that was standing there in the background was laughing. She's like, yeah, he's smiling, laughing about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, she was channeling him, and she goes, I don't normally like people, but you're okay. And I was like, yeah, breakthrough. Thank you, Gary. You know, and then Chester was his buddy, who was the maintenance man who fell through the ceiling. He died there. He's real aggressive. He'll move furniture and freak the maintenance people out and stuff like that. It's pretty funny. But he's been mellow, too. His wife committed suicide there a year after he died. So I picked this day where I think it's their anniversary, which was in August. And I brought her flowers, and I bought him a little thing of vodka because he likes vodka. And the whole energy has changed. Very polite and nice and stuff. So there's nothing really menacing there anymore. It's just, this is about how, for those who are listening out there, want to communicate with spirits. If you could know a little bit about them, what they're like, what their persona was, kind of show them a little respect and give them a little memorial. Say, hey, these flowers are for your wife, Chandra, and these are for you. Their energy changes. They see that you're not just someone trying to interfere in their business or get in their way or exploit them.
Exactly.
You're building a relationship. It's all about the relationship.
And that, in turn, helps them in their transition. It helps them, you know, not to be trapped. It helps them to be able to actually choose whether they want to stay and watch over, you know? It helps so much. That almost made me cry when you said you brought her that, because I could feel how much that meant to him. And before that, when you were saying about the moving stuff, that just felt to me like he was a, like he liked to do pranks back in his day.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
But,
they do that stuff now. I've been up there with some of the maintenance guys looking for bolts and screws, and we're just like going through all this stuff. And we're right in their area where they don't like people being, all of a sudden the bolt or the screw we're looking for just flies across the room and hit one of my friends in the chest, and it bounces on the table. He's like, oh, that was weird. I'm like, hey, this is it. Thanks, you guys. You know, so here's your stupid screw. You guys get out of my room. It was like, cool. You know, so they're pretty funny guys.
Yeah, they do that. I know that James is, I don't know if you ever heard of this restaurant in Stockton, California called the Old Hoosier Inn.
Uh-huh.
But they had tore it down and put up a KFC there. I only went into the KFC once because it was enough. I mean, it was just a lot of energy, you know, so I just never really went back into it. But when his dad worked there, he was one of the main chefs, and him and the other chef had looked all over for this humongous pot, okay? And they had them all hanging on the ceiling and, like, you know, in a fancy restaurant, and they looked all day for this particular pot to make the split pea soup. Could not find it. Next thing you know, this pot out of nowhere falls down finally when they were about ready to give up, and right in the middle of them. Like, boom. It wasn't there the whole entire day, and then, boom, it falls down right in the middle of them. So that story you find in that reminded me of, yeah. I guess that's one of the nice things, too, with field training and when we get to teach people and kind of, like, with even doing the paracons, they get to learn. You know, it takes the scary out of it. And everyone gets to talk
absolutely.
About their experiences.
That's what I love about the paracons. It's like a family reunion. And then we meet new people who have interesting stories, or they want to show us something or talk about whatever their experience was in it. And that's awesome because that's one way we learn from each other. This person mm-hmm. might have an experience that I've never experienced before, and it's always great to learn about different things. I might have an opinion about what's going on, and they might want to try a technique as well and let me know how it goes. So we're building relationships with people at the same time at every single event.
And learning and helping so many, you know, with it.
Yep.
Because you're right, what you were saying about how they dramatize scary movies now, you know. It's not like how it was in our day where we had the scary characters. You know, you had Jason, you had all these characters that weren't, you know, really realistic, you know. But now they'll take the, like, movies where they've done investigations and just make it that much more for the dramatic effect, you know. And it's kind of, I mean, it scares people, and that's what they're trying to do. But I think the only part I wish there was more of was when you know the people are helping. Like, there was more focus mm-hmm. on that sometimes than the scary part of it. Like, I love The Conjuring 1 and 2, and I honor Ed and Lorraine Warren because what Lorraine does is what I do, you know? What she did,
mm-hmm.
and I just have so much respect for them. And there's parts of the movie that are just really poignant as to why they investigated and why they did the things they did, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And when you read their stories, or if you watch the movies that are based on their stories, you see them going in there, and they don't know exactly what's happened or what to expect, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that time and time again. That's what it's like in real life. You go to that's why they call it the unknown. What are we gonna incur today? What's gonna happen? And it's pretty amazing. And the whole time that you're doing this, you're learning as you're going through the process, because there's no set formula for everything. It's always, you know, try this and see how this goes. Oh, they like that, but they don't like this, you know. Going through those
mm-hmm.
steps of elimination.
And
so that's pretty important.
It shows how all of us, you know, as investigators, like, especially when it comes to families, people with children, people, you know, wanting to help them and them to get to understand. That's, like, the most important thing, you know? And
mm-hmm.
we push ourselves. We have to remember to take a step back sometimes and rest. I have a hard time with that. I don't know how you are with that, but I do a lot of times. So I have to make myself rest because I could get a call right now from somebody and I would be like, Stefan, this is what's going on, and I would tell you on the radio show, and I would want to be,
yeah.
I would go out the door to make sure they were okay.
Yeah, absolutely. When you get that call, you got to be ready.
Mm-hmm. But I would like you to send me definitely a picture of the outside and like any rooms in it that are particular. And if you actually had pictures of those three spirits you talked to me about, I would love to read them too.
I do. Gary, we were below the projector room looking up at this vent shaft, and Gary looked down at us, and we got a couple of pictures of his face looking down at us. That was pretty
cool.
So,
yeah, I would love to get to see the pictures and read them and then send that all to you, what all I got. And, yes, eventually
sure,
I will get me a laptop so that I can be seen. Just, you know, getting here. I've been here 3 months, so it's been kind of a transition, you know. But
absolutely, yeah.
I'm starting to, you know, get my footing. I'm sure that with the paranormal here right now, I can feel it, like I said, picking up. And this happens, like I told you before, every time when it gets close to being spring, the time change. That's why I can't wait till fall. I don't like it getting dark early, but I love the veil being thin. It's just much more relaxing because I can communicate easier. I feel like they can communicate easier. It's crazy because I remember working some cases and helping people, you know, and the spirit would come through, but before everything could be figured out, it'd take a whole year's worth of work. Now, in the spirit's time, that's way quicker than our time, you know. We just don't realize that.
Yeah, it's a different kind of thing. It's a different kind of time frame. Things move differently. That's why sometimes we get EVPs. If you'll hear something in the background, you have to slow it down because it's moving at such a fast rate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's awesome. So
I remember
we only got about
EVP.
5 minutes.
Oh.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just want to give you a heads up.
No,
we have about
good.
5 minutes left.
I
want people
to
want to know if they have questions. How could they reach out to you?
Oh, on my Facebook. Or else, like, you can even post my phone number up there on your link, like, or on in your thing, your page for Ventura or whatever. You can have my number wherever and send it, and they can get a hold of me.
I'm not gonna put your number out there because there's over a million
me.
Followers.
That or
so
on Facebook.
Post your Facebook page up there so they can message you.
I'm wanting to start a new spiritual page, though. I want to call it Lightning Strikes and start
a
new one. Thank you.
Definitely. When you get that set up, let me know, and then we can we'll do another interview, hopefully with a video this time, and we'll promote that page.
Oh, that would be wonderful. That would be wonderful. Oh, the one thing I was going to tell you real quick is I've actually heard an EVP where a ghost sang happy birthday to one of our investigators on his birthday.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was wonderful. But, yeah,
I love that kind of stuff where it's fun and happy.
You, everything with the page, and eventually I want to open an online shop with it.
Cool.
So,
yeah.
But you keep doing what Doug loved, and that makes him smile. And thank you so much for having me on the show again.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for joining us again. Like I said, once you get that page set up and you're ready to do another show, we'll promote it and then send people checking it out. You know, that way that'd be easier for you to get in contact with some of those people. So that's awesome.
So, all right. Thank you so much, Stefan. You have a good evening.
You too. Thank you so much for joining us. All right, everybody, that is going to be the wrap of the show. You guys have listened to My Darkest Hour. We did a phone interview tonight. I know you guys like the video stuff. We're going to get her back on the show relatively soon, hopefully, and we can go from there, get her to do the video. And like she's talking about that page. So I think that's going to be really helpful for a lot of people. To kind of go to a gathering point and talk about their experiences, learning from other people, because that's what we do when we're doing these paracons. You can reach out to her and learn a little bit about her skills and what she does and how to help other people, especially in that area. I know Ohio is got a lot of haunted locations, of course, with the reformatory is very popular. Even the university out there. It's pretty amazing. There's a lot of stories about that, so go ahead and check it out. Thank you for listening to My Darkest Hour Radio right here on Live Paranormal, History FM, iTunes. It goes on and on and on. Thank you to my sponsors, everybody over at P-Tech, making all the equipment that we use to run around in the dark. Thanks to Lizzie Wizzy's Crafty Creations, making us all those custom scarves. And a hoodie or the beanies and stuff to keep our heads warmer running around those cold, dark, musky asylums, you know. So keep that in mind. And want to give a shout-out to everybody at Blog Talk for hosting everything and keeping it all together. Thanks to Rob and everybody at Live Paranormal. And don't forget to go to Paraflix. Watch my show. Matter of fact, Paraflix is paranormal 24 hours a day. It's like the Netflix of the paranormal. Go ahead, do yourself a favor, and watch every show because everybody on that program is legit, and I love watching everything on Paraflix. I'm learning so much. So go ahead and check it out, and we will see you guys right here next time on My Darkest Hour. Good night.
This is John Temporelli, co-author and editor of Heaven Can You Hear Me by the late famed Fox sighting psychic and legendary paranormal researcher Peter James.
This is the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, and
you are listening to My Darkest Hour with Stefan Brigati on LiveParanormal.com.